He's a mighty God, amen. You know, on Sunday in Rufunsa, I was trying to share to the believers of the message that Brother Branham preached on when those Greeks, you know, they came to Philip and asked him to say, "Sirs would want to see Jesus." Amen. So I was trying to encourage them that when you desire to see Jesus, he will surely come to you and you will be able to see him. Because I was trying to advise, to encourage them that, you know, seeing Jesus, not just to see him pass, because many people, they saw him, even the Greeks. If at all they just wanted to have a glimpse on him, they would have seen him. But I'm sure there was something that they really desired to see him.
That's right.
Amen. So I, you know, not knowing, I tried to encourage them to say, look, when you see Jesus, your life changes, and you explain. He actually reveals more things to you. And, you know, just during the week, personally, I can say that the Lord, you know, I managed to see the power of God even in my very life. Amen. And you know, because this Christian walk that we are in, it's a journey that desires that we always need confirmation that God is always with us. Because if not, you find that you may fall away on the way. So that is why prayer is important, so that God will be able to keep on manifesting and, you know, assuring you that he is actually with you, that what you have is actually nothing but the truth. Amen. So God, you know, I was very happy. In fact, it should be on Tuesday night, when I had that dream, I had a very wonderful dream that revived me spiritually and to prove to me that God is still alive today. So I won't be able to tell that dream now, but until maybe I will whisper it to the pastor before I will share it to you later on. Amen. But to me, what I wanted to ask to tell you is that God is in control of our lives. He knows each and every move that we do. So that gives me personally strength to go on and, you know, save him in whichever way that I can. Amen. So we... All right, amen. All right, he has allowed me that I can actually, but I wanted to tell him first. Anyway, we thank God, amen. Yeah, I'll share the testimony, and then whoever has, we can be able to do that, amen. Well, after Sunday, you know, was it on Sunday? No, not Sunday after all. It was last week. Last week we had... we are busy, of course, because on Saturday we had the meeting here for the, I think we are making, I think those who were there on Sunday, I think the pastor explained everything. We were making some, you know, a policy of some kind. And so I think that was on Saturday. We debated it actually a lot for some time. And on Monday, of course, we did whatever arrangements that we could do. Now on, it should be on Friday, because I'd indicated actually to the believers that I would want to do the pavers, amen. I want to do the pavers so that I can be able to, I'll just feel good, even if it's to be free, but I'll do it. So that I'll do whatever I can, but just to do the thing. So I shared it to the brothers and to the pastor, of course. And then that was the time that we said, let's put up some policy so that we could be guiding us, because we need something perfect, of course, with quality. That was the key. So we discussed about it, and then now I indicated on Friday to say, because next week, meaning this week, I may be a bit busy, maybe going out of the city or so. So I wanted I do it quickly. I pay my boys, we do whatever we can, so that on Saturday we start, and then by end of the week, meaning this week, by Friday, I should be done. That was my plan. So I communicated to the brothers, and then the pastor said, no, we need first of all to have to sit, first of all, to go back to discuss again some few things. So we started debating, or discussing, of course. That was on WhatsApp. We talked. Now, something came in me to say, but, I really want to do something for God, maybe just to do that, and I'll make sure that I'll do it perfectly. So, as we were talking, I don't know what came, I said, but now the way the brothers are speaking is like they are not in favor of me doing the work, whatever that came. So I said, I think the best we can do is that I won't volunteer to do the works, but instead we'll just, maybe we hire somebody else to do the works, we pay him, because it seems it may not go right. I asked my wife, and then we agreed, actually. We concluded, we said, I think I won't do the work, but we'll just support whichever person that will do the papers we're going to pay. So I even posted, I shared, actually, I said, actually, let's just look for someone else. I want to do the works. And that was final. I concluded. I even forgot about it to say, we'll support whoever that person will do. Now, and of course, I think the pastor wrote to say, no, don't say that. Don't be, I've forgotten the term. Don't be emotional, yes. And of course, in my writing, I was, God knows my heart, there was nothing like emotion. I just said, I think I won't do it. There was nothing emotional to that. So, but I still said, I won't do it anyway. I still want to do it. I think let's just ask somebody for the sake of peace. Let's just ask somebody. So I concluded. So now on Tuesday, because my wife was going for work on Tuesday, so Monday night, I think it was Tuesday morning actually, because I don't normally dream, but this time around, I don't know what, it was 02 or so before morning prayers. I had this dream. In this dream, I saw, we're in the church, like that, and I was, of course, seated there. Now, the pastor started preaching. Now, as he was preaching, he preached, he was preaching. The sermon was nothing. It was nothing related to whatever happened. It was completely something else. But now when he was preaching, he preached, he spoke something which directly touched my heart during the service. Like telling me to say, whatever that discussion was, pointing out. So whatever that discussion was, remember, the work that you want to do or you may do in the future is not for me, for anyone else, but that work is actually you are doing it for the Lord who is standing here, So he pointed to the Lord was standing. And now everyone else was just, normal, it was just a normal service. But now I looked beside, of course, I saw the Lord Jesus, of course, like he was pointing. So it appears to me to say now, so brother, whatever you are doing, so tomorrow you should start the works, You should start the works, and the Lord will obviously be with you, and he will support you. And then he continued preaching. He preached. Now, whatever he was speaking, it was like coming direct to my heart to say, this is actually what I needed, And the service ended, we just, parted. Normally, we greeted and then we went. And in that sermon, whatever he was preaching, he said, so tomorrow, brother, what time are you starting the program? That's what he was preaching. So when I woke up in the morning, I shared to my wife, look, I had a dream. This is exactly what it meant. It was supposed to be. And then she also said, no, but the message is very clear. Just go and do whatever you have proposed. Go and do the works, and the work will be perfect. Now, what surprised me was that I also said, okay, but now how do I retract my work to say, brethren, I'll do the works again. I'll do the works after all. Because I'd already written twice to say, I think I won't do the works. Let's just engage somebody. So now, as I was going for work, it should be yesterday or so. Now, the pastor wrote the message. The way he said it, it was exactly the way my dream was, Apologies, but just let me just read it through. It was in, I don't know which group was that. I don't know if it's the... bear with me, brethren, but it meant a lot to me. I don't know, Pastor, if you remember where you posted that, where you are, I don't know if it's in financial commission, where you said, when are you starting the... Anyway, I'm sure I'll find it. So he posted something.
Okay, it's in Elders.
Elders. I want to read it the way it is, and because that's what excited me a lot. It's in Elders, yes. Okay. Yeah, so he said, Brother Mwansa, are you available for works to commence, knowing that the QA team is now in place? Amen. Now, that was exactly the words that he when he was preaching, he talked about. And that was exact. So remember, I'd already indicated I won't do anything. But now he just came out to say, are you still available for the works to commence? And that was exactly what it was in the dream. To me, I was very excited. I said, God, He always watches over us and is always concerned with whatever we do. So to me, I was very excited, and I'm so thankful to the Lord that God will still, we may err in here and there, but God will always sees what we are supposed to do. So to me, it's quite a very big thing, actually, that God always speaks and He always watches over us. And this gives me hope and courage that we'll be able to continue in our faith, because God watches anything that we do and is very much concerned. Amen. So that dream revived me, and it gave me much hope and more grace to say the Lord is so grateful, and is so I just thank God.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So that was my dream and my testimony. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. So unless there is anyone else with a testimony or whatever you want to share, before I call the pastor, unless if there is anyone with a song or whatever you want to share, we can be able to hear that. Amen. Otherwise, I will straight away call the pastor then. Amen.
I greet you in Jesus' name. I'm so thankful to the Lord for the experience God gave Brother Mansa. And before I speak any further, I think there are different believers around the world who are really praying to be blessed during the meetings which are coming up. You know what can be the worst is when you who is at home here, you are not spiritually ready for the event. I think that's a worst case, isn't it? Let's not be like, who is this? Martha. Busy with plates, busy with... As we are getting ready, as we are getting busy, let us start preparing our hearts spiritually. Amen? So, this coming Saturday is the last Saturday of the month. You know what happens. What do we have on the last Saturday of the month? Monthly prayer and fasting. So, do whatever you can to be found there. Let us all be here, 8:30. There's a hand raised behind. Yeah, I thought of that, but then it's not something we have discussed through with the elders and how it can be. So instead of going through that discussion, let's do it the way we usually do it. Then maybe after leaders discuss it, if it will be okay for it to be done on Sundays. I just thought Sunday it would give an opportunity for everyone to participate. But I wouldn't want to pass that from the pulpit. So let's do it on Saturday. Okay, Saturday. But if it is okayed, well, anything can happen between now and... But my point of announcing it is, please, let us pray and fast to pray for the meetings. Amen? Because we need God to help us and the people who are coming. Brother Hubert D'Souza from India, I think his visa is ready. He used the same documents I sent him, which others used. Others, they're having a challenge. Like our brethren, three brethren from the Philippines, they're asking them, we need the letter from the church mother body, you know, Evangelical Fellowship of Zambia, Council of Churches, and you know, we don't belong to those things. So first they requested for our registration certificate, we submitted. Next, oh, we want church mother body thing, and that really has been troubling my mind. Today I tried to phone the numbers they indicated on the revert letter. I contacted this lady. I explained to her. I said, well, I have three friends. They need to come and attend. We were asked to submit the church certificate. We did. But then you are asking us to submit the mother body. But then our church is an independent church. So what do we do? It's an independent church. We don't subscribe to church mother body. And you see, we are not the only ones. Is it three, four other churches which do not belong to any mother body? Seventh-day Adventists, they are one of them. They have their reasons biblically why they don't want to be part of that. Jehovah Witnesses also, they don't belong to any mother body in Zambia. Okay, they stand as independent churches. I didn't bring out those things to the immigration lady, but I just told her our church is independent. So what do? We have a registration certificate. Because a registration certificate, it means, well, you are allowed to operate legally, okay? So she said, all right, just put your explanation in words, then tell the person applying for the visa to go to the revert section on the immigration system and just submit your reasons and your explanations the way you've just explained. So I communicated to Brother Resos. I don't know what time he'll... Because, you know, Philippines is 6 hours ahead, so I'm hoping he sees it quickly and try to do that. But that explains to you why we need to pray. Amen. Yeah, because I believe it will be a blessing for these brothers to come. I've always desired for Brother Resos to visit us. A very wonderful, humble brother with a very good teaching ministry. And, well, whenever I see someone has a gift, a ministry, which I feel is of benefit to the body of Christ, I would really want us to benefit from that, even all the different people who will be present. Amen. So it is my prayer that this thing works out. Amen. Yeah. And going back to the experience Brother Mansa had, we are God's children. Amen. We are God's children dressed in physical bodies. Now, you know the problem with that? The problem with that is sometimes you can have communication breakdown. You know, and no matter how good, nice you are, a thought communicated may not be received as the way it was communicated. So that is what causes communication breakdown. When it reaches a point like that where both of you are sincere and you are really trying to reach out to the heart of the other one to see what is the objective, what's the purpose of this, believe me, you pray, commit it to the Lord will reveal it. You understand that? It has happened to me several times. Okay, and like the brother said, it just shows the presence of God in our midst. And it's not just for Brother Mansa. It's for each and every one of us. Whatever we do, whether it is singing, whether it is cleaning the church, never for one moment think you are doing it for anyone. You are doing it for the Lord. And God will reward you for that. You understand that? So Brother Mansa is doing the work, I mean, for free. It would have costed us 15,000, 16,000 kwacha. But for him to offer that, it's not really like there won't be a pay for him. Believe me, there is nothing you do to the glory of God that won't be rewarded. God will reward that. How he will do it, I don't know. But it's to the glory of God. That does not mean you say, oh, okay, the brother is doing it for free. You need to see how many workers are working on the church site trying to put pavers. It's a number of people. You can do what you can to bring in the support. You understand that? You know, I was thinking in my head, what little can I put in so that these men have food? I mean, we are hiring things and all that. But that has to come by inspiration. There are certain things you have to be inspired by God to do that. You know, we are having a headache over so many things to be done. The question is, do you have the revelation? Blessed are you if God reveals himself to you the way he revealed himself to our brother over work he was doing. God did not reveal himself to say, I've called you to preach, I've called you to, or you are a prophet or something like that. It's related to physical work, isn't it? Is that right? So whatever you do has a blessing of God in it. And when people are sincere and they're doing whatever they can with an honest heart, God will reveal himself. He will manifest himself. God will give you a pat on the back to say, hey, this is not about the people discussing or things like that. It's about my work. Amen. Okay, quickly, this is a very important topic I want us to look into. And I want to appreciate the brother for leading us into an anointed time of worship. When you've prayed and you've had an experience of the presence of God in your midst, it makes preaching easier. Okay? I was discussing with people who lead in praise and worship on Sundays. You know, from the time the work grew, where Brother Mansa is in Rufunsa, Brother Nzima is in Chatama, the team is no longer complete in the church. So others are learning how to do certain things and all that. So I was bringing it to their attention to say, the past Sundays, you know, there's a drag in the spirit. You know, before preaching, people have to be immersed in the spirit. Real worship. We don't want to sing and sing and sing and sing and sing. We don't come here to review our talents. Before preaching, there has to be real anointed prayer and worship. That is what prepares your heart. Because when you are coming from home, there are so many things on your mind. You know that? Even if you were cleaning plates the whole day, I don't know what atmosphere could be around your heart, around your mind. So now, it's our duty when we come into the presence of God to prepare our minds before the preaching comes, for you to hear the voice of God. Because when your mind is not prepared, you'll be hearing Brother Piri's voice. And that's a big problem if you are hearing my voice. You need to see what is the Lord trying to speak to us as we've gathered. Because where children of God have gathered, this meeting you are seeing here, God foresaw it before Adam and Eve was on earth. So if God foresaw it, he foreordained it. If God foreordained it, you need to ask yourself, why has God brought me this evening? If your mind is not ready, you won't catch anything. You just waste your time and warm that chair. Do you believe that? And that is why every work of ministry in the church is very important. If a person is leading worship, he needs to come from prayer. He needs to be anointed for that. You know, and as we are leading, as we are preparing our minds and our hearts, certain clouds which were hanging around your mind, they get away. Because it's like light shining on the morning dew. You know that morning dew? When sunlight falls on it, it melts away. That's what the presence of God does. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Shall we stand and read? Last Sunday, we ended on this note. Luther said, the law has a function. It has a purpose. What's the function of the law? He mentioned two things. He says, to make a person realize that they are not able to keep that law. Now, if you don't understand that, listen to last Sunday's message. Luther says, the function of the law is to expose our inability. God put it there for a purpose, to show us we can never be good by our own efforts, even when we know the good and the right thing to do. Now, number two, he says, the law is good for civic use. I'm beginning from that point. Shall we go to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 9? 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 9. Let us start from verse 8 and then we read verse 9, all of us all together. But we know that the law is good. Shall we all read together? 1 Timothy 1 verse 8. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. Heavenly Father, we approach your throne of grace. Be merciful, Lord, unto us, for we always fall short of that which you desire of us. Forgive us, Lord, in whatever thing that stands between us and you. Any thought which is not here, but it is elsewhere, we arrest it and bring it under the Lordship of Christ. Oh, Heavenly Father, search every corner of our hearts as we kneel before thy throne of grace, as we pray that, oh God, may you reveal thyself. May we see the purpose why you've allowed us gather this evening. Be merciful unto us, Lord, for your word, in it there is healing. In it there is revival. In it there is true, abundant joy. Let none go back home the same, Lord. May we all, from the preacher to the person sitting, from the oldest person to the youngest person in here, let each one receive the blessing that you foresaw and why you've allowed this meeting to take place. May we all receive that blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We may be seated. So now, let me read where Luther said these words. He says, the law is good for civic use. Now, listen. I'm quoting again Charlotte Methuen in the book Luther and Calvin, Religious Revolutionaries. I always have a problem with that word. Through the law, thought Luther, people came to recognize their need for the grace which is preached in the gospel. Remember the first reason we mentioned? This is the theological use of the law. The law convicts the sinner of their sin. Luther also, now this is the second point I mentioned, Luther also believed the law to be important because of its political or civic use for maintaining order in society, to restrain those who are uncivilized and wicked. So Luther says, the law, the Ten Commandments, they serve another purpose. Civic use. Now, how many have heard of the word civics? Civics. You've heard of the word civics, or just the word civic. The civic center, civics. Some of you have learned it in school. Let's see. Okay, good. What does the word civic mean? The word civics or civic is actually derived from a term civis. C-I-V-I-S. And civis means citizen, like a citizen of a country. And it is this same word from which we get the word city. In other words, when you are looking at the word civic, you are looking at a group of people who make up a community, who make up a country. And when you have a group of people, there's going to be need for laws to govern how to behave, what happens when someone borrowed or bought things and they haven't paid for them, so that we can have fairness, so that we can have order. So, all such kind of things which deal with law, order, governing, to make sure we are able to coexist peacefully, we refer to those things as civic issues, civic, coming from the word civis, where the word citizen comes from. In other words, when you are dealing with a civic issue, you are dealing with people who belong. They are citizens of this entity, and by them being citizens, they need to abide by rules which can make all of you to live in peace together. Are we understanding? Now, Luther says the law is good for civic use, meaning the law helps us to put up regulations, order. We can't just say everyone knows the right thing to do. Well, in this grouping where you say everyone, there are those who do good because you are watching them. When you all go to sleep at night, what do? They wake up. They want to go and grab something, and that thing, someone worked for it the whole month. They raised some money. They got a loan, bought that thing. But this other person, he looks around. No citizen is watching. No other human being who is part of the community is watching. What does he do? He steals that thing. In the morning, he says, hey, I don't know who got that thing. Hey, who got that? No one. And then, well, maybe you find that person with that thing. And he says, sorry, you know, I just took and I was trying to use it. When you have a society like that, it will have disorder. There won't be fairness, right? Things will be missing. Now, there will be those who are upright, who want to do the right thing. But not everyone can be like that. So now, that is where you want to come up with laws. In case someone has stolen, he needs to be locked up. His hands need to be tied. Why? He is becoming a problem to other citizens. So let him be punished. Let him be taken out of time. Let his time stand still. When you are put in prison, your time is made to stand still. You are doing no activity. Why? They are tying your hands so that you don't interfere with other citizens. That's the whole idea, isn't it? Now, in the light or in the context of that, do you think the law is good?
Yes.
Is the law good?
Yes.
How if I tell you, when one person kills another person, let's kill that person. Is that a good thing? No, I'm not saying you doing it. But appointed authorities. The person is taken to court. He's proved guilty. Let him be hanged. Death penalty. How many here support the death penalty? You say, yeah, if someone kills, let his life be taken away. How many are saying, that's a fair law? Hey, very few people, three. Those who are saying, no, it's not good. Life belongs in the hands of God. We shouldn't. Maybe that person will repent someday. How many are saying, that's my position? Now, some of you don't raise hand either way. Where are you? Those who are saying, it's okay. Let me see your hands. Those who are saying, I don't know. Okay. Others, at least they're in the I don't know category. But others are not even in the I don't know category. Where do we put them now? Okay, but let me read this scripture. Romans 13, verse 1 to 7. Please, if you have a Bible, let's read it all together. Romans chapter 13, verse 1 to 7. Romans 13, verse 1 to 7. Please go there. I want us to read that carefully, and we need to understand it. Shall we read all together? Verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Did you hear that? Huh? Politicians love this verse, you know. You know, they use verses like this. But is that really so exactly? Let's see what we can learn from it. So he says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Verse 2, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works. Are you seeing what Paul is talking about here? Are you seeing what he's talking about? When you have rulers and they've put up laws, if you steal, you'll be arrested. If you lie, this will be the penalty. Those laws are important for peaceful coexistence. Amen. If you say, well, if you murder another person, we'll just sit you down and tell you, you know, don't do that thing again. Eh? You should not repeat, all right? Ah, no, no, no. Forgive me. You really think it's going to work? You think it's going to work? No. For rulers are not a terror to good works. You know, when you're doing good work, you have no fear. Because, you know, I'm doing the right thing. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. So he says, as a citizen, do the right thing. Verse 4, for he is talking about the soldier, he's talking about the ruler, he's talking about that law enforcement person. Let us read verse 4. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. So when you look at people with professions like Brother Simkoko, you know, he's in the police service, or soldiers, or you learn to appreciate them when you are in a problem. I'll never forget those times when I was in Kamala South and my thieves used to pounce on us every now and then. That area was really terrible. It didn't have a police station, you know. And so I remember one time they stole a battery from the vehicle. I bought the battery, I think, the same day. The following day they came and stole the new one. And another time they came. Oh my, this time they did quite a mess on the vehicle. We were just walking up. That was around, I think, 0102. It was Sister Kashala then, I think they used to stay. Those were the times when she used to stay with us home. And with another lady, they used to keep up in this bedroom. So 02 were just woken up with the two ladies screaming. Kawalala, kawalala. And that time, Joshua was a baby, I think very young. And he just started crying because it was a very traumatizing kind of a scream. If there was a human horn or alarm, oh my, that was really it. They really screamed. So when we went to the room to see what was going on, hey, what do we say? They're narrating to us. These guys were, should be six or seven of them, I think, all covered, and they opened up the vehicle. The bonnet was open. They wanted to disconnect the distributor. It was really a mess, you know. Now, as they were screaming, they're telling them, we'll beat you. A point where a thief now is exchanging words with you. You know, they were trying to scare them. But hey, when the noise got louder, that's how they all ran away. Now, it's in such a situation, you say, hey, I think this community needs a police post. Every work has its purpose. Those policemen, they may not be born again, but we appreciate the work they do. Of course, how efficient, effective they are, it's another time. But we thank God for the defense forces. There are certain things you enjoy, one way or another. Yeah, because there is someone who is not sleeping. He needs to give instructions for this and that to be done, for patrols to be done. It may not be so effective, but imagine a world if that was not there. It would be a different situation, isn't it? Everyone would be doing his own thing, isn't it? Now, wherefore, ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause, verse 6, for this cause, what does it say, verse 6? For this cause, pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Pay tribute. Is it tax you're supposed to pay? Well, just pay it. You're doing your part. And then he says, verse 7, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So he says, respect people for the office they do. Is it someone who needs to be respected? Respect them. Is it someone higher than you? Respect them. Is it the police officer? It's just like this immigration issue I'm talking about. You know, you can easily misinterpret it and say, why are they doing this? You know, this is 666 now, which is coming and all that. No, 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 no. When you look at it, they have a good reason why they're asking for that. Yes, we don't belong to these mother bodies, but there's a good reason why they brought up that. And you know the reason. There has been a lot of abuse of church processes. You know that, isn't it? Yes. You have a lot of foreigners who've come in. I mean, look at all the scandals we've heard before. Crooked men in the name of being preachers have done. They open churches in every corner, in every compound, and they say, you know, we are a church. Others have been involved in such things as even raping women, doing all sorts of crazy things. Others, they're building wealth out of it. Others, they're just stealing money from people, telling them, buy this holy water, and they're exploiting people. So now, with all the good intentions, they say, let us put order here. You belong to a church mother body. Now, this is a worldly system. It is trying to put a control on something using what they think is best. And yes, the devil can take advantage of that to put or bring in problems people who are sincere and they're doing the right thing. It will always be like that, isn't it? Amen. When you look at it, they have a good reason for that. You know, why they're trying to prevent every Jim and Jack. And then the church organizations themselves, for example, if you want to be part of the mother body, you know, when you look at their rules, I remember one time reading part of their requirements. They said, you know, you need to believe in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And that's the point which a person like me says, no way, I can't join that thing because it's a system, it's an organization. And what does the devil do? He takes advantage of that to do what? To put in a tight corner people who are worshiping God in spirit and in truth. When you find yourself at a crossroads like that, what do you do? That's the time you need God to intervene. And you say, Lord, we're not part of such a thing, but God watches over his people. Amen. Now, let me show you the character of Paul when one time a terrible thing happened to him. You know, they commanded for him to be arrested, and then a high priest commanded that he be smote, he be beaten on the mouth. According to the law of Moses, that's not allowed. And this man was a high priest representing the nation of Israel. Now, look at this. Acts 23, verse 1 to 5. I want you to see how Paul responded. And we are speaking of these things because with a lack of knowledge, some believers can go in extremes. You know, where you just feel, you know, we are the kingdom of God. We don't have to obey rules in a country and all that. No. Be sober. Understand the reasons behind certain things. Whilst you are praying over things, know that there is a higher government, a higher authority, which is God. And is the one we can cry to when we see that, Lord, we know they're doing this thing with a good intention. But at the same time, they are blind. The law is blind to people like us who are doing things sincerely. You are a higher power. Intervene in this situation. And the will of the Lord will take course, right? Acts 23, verse 1 to 5. And Paul earnestly, beholding the council, said, Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. So Paul is arrested. He is brought before these people. And he's putting his defense. He says, Men and brethren, I'm not a thief. I'm not a bad person who is out to do all sorts of wrong things. I have lived with a good conscience in everything I do. I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. Now, listen to what the high priest said. And the high priest, Ananias, commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. Can you imagine that? Is there anything wrong with what Paul said? Did you hear what Paul said? You know, he stands before the council. These are judges. These are men of authority. These are the bishops, the reverends. They're charging him. You know, others believe he teaches wrong doctrines. Others, you know, he's confusing people. He's causing confusion. And here he stands. He says, Men and brethren, very respectfully, he says, I have lived in all good conscience before God. Until this day, my conscience is right. What does the high priest say? Smite his mouth. You can see the anger they had against this man. These people were wicked in their heart. You understand that? The high priest says, smite him on the mouth. And that was against the law. Listen to what Paul answered. You know, it's like they steered him. You know, he had that heart in him. Then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall. For sittest thou to judge me after the law and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law? Are you seeing what he called that man? Because they commanded to smite Paul on the mouth. When they did that, Paul looked at the high priest. He says, God will smite you. You whited wall. You know a whited wall? You know a whited wall? When you go to the graveyard, in those days, that's the language. You remember, Jesus said to the Pharisees, you are painted white outside, but inside you are full of dead men's bones. You know how a grave site is? You can paint it white, you put marble, very nice. You are nest behind it. It's not nice as it looks. It's bones. It's a dead thing. You understand that? You white at war. You know, he spoke that. That was quite an offensive word for a man in that regard as a high priest. Now, this is what someone said. And they that stood by said, revilest thou God's high priest? He says, Paul, is that what you said about the high priest? Well, listen to what Paul answers. Then Paul said, I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest. He says, I didn't know he was the high priest. And he says, for it is written, he's quoting scripture, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. So when he hears that, he wasn't happy. He didn't feel good. He says, oh, I didn't know he's the high priest, because the word of God says we should not speak evil of someone who rules other people, right? Does this give you an idea of what type of personality Paul had when it goes to respecting authority? It gives you an idea, right? But hey, this man is in chains. How come he's in chains? Obviously, there are certain civic things he wasn't following, one might say. No, not when you follow it strictly. Paul was a very intelligent man. That is why when he noticed, I'm a Roman citizen, they're judging me unfairly, he would take advantage of that. One thing is this. We are to follow the word of God. We are to obey authorities in the land. But whenever authorities do or require you to follow something which is contrary to the word, you are obliged to obey the higher power. Are you understanding that? But if they tell me to do something which is right, it doesn't contradict God's word, I'm obliged to say, Ndiela muramene afakiwa, let us follow that. You understand that? But if it is something we know, no, this is contrary. You want me to belong to a mother body, and I can see God at no time established an organized system, and this system wants me to subscribe to certain beliefs and all that. I say, no. Sorry. My heart, my allegiance, I'm married to Christ, not to any mother body. Those things have never been an establishment of God. You remember the other time, President Museveni, the video which went viral? I don't know what issues Museveni has with these organized churches. You remember the viral video where he says, who are these people called bishops? How many have watched that video? Where Museveni attacks bishops. Okay, you need to watch it. I'll share it in the church group. He says, who are these bishops, whatever they are called? Me, I know, actually, the ones who killed Christ was Caiaphas. You've never heard of that video? I'll share it. He says, the one who killed Jesus was Caiaphas, the big bishop himself. He says, it's these same people who killed Jesus, these very organized churches and all that. I was very shocked to hear that from Museveni, you know. Whatever difference he had with the bishops, he had his reasons. And now people were making fun of him. Says, who is Caiaphas in the Bible? Who is Caiaphas in the Bible? I said, oh my, this politician is more informed than these so-called Christians who are trying to make fun. Many thought there is no Caiaphas in the Bible. He is actually, he read very well. He's talking about Caiaphas, the high priest, right? Yeah, he says, Caiaphas killed Jesus. Well, we respect people who are leaders, but our allegiance is to the word of God, and we believe, we enjoy order. Some people say, Zambia, a Christian nation, and all that. Believe me, when you go to certain places where there isn't the freedom we're enjoying, you appreciate certain things you have here, and thank God for the state of the country. Not everything is right, but thank him for the peace. When it's Christmas here, we play with fireworks, don't we? You think they play with fireworks in Iraq? You think they play with the fireworks in Afghanistan? Do they play with fireworks in the Middle East? In Palestine? You think they play with fireworks? No. It's deadly there. So let us appreciate God for the peace he has given. It's not because we are better than those people, but this is what God has provided us with. Let's make good use of it. Amen. And let us pray that this peace continues to the glory of his name. We don't know how long, but whatever it is, his will shall be done. Praise God. Now, having looked at all these things we're speaking about, are you seeing the point where Luther says the law is good for civic use? You see the reason? Can you see that when we look at the constitution we have, much of it is about, you can trace it to the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal. We have a police service dealing with that. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Go to the courts of the law. Those things are not allowed. Now, let us read Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. Now, I want us to pay close attention to what some things I'm about to explain. In case you missed one or two points, listen to the recording again. Habakkuk 2, verse 14. Shall we all read it together? For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The earth shall be filled with what? The knowledge of what? The glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Whatever is happening right now, one day we won't have the problems we're having in the world today. Every country today has a constitution. America has its constitution. Their constitution allows this and allows that. Zambia has its own constitution. It's been the intention of man to make rules to help govern society. But with all the constitutions in place, it has never straightened the behavior of man. Why? True righteousness, peace, and joy will come in that day when Jesus rules over this world, the 1,000 years. During those 1,000 years, it will not just be trying to make people who are ethical. But the knowledge of God has to permeate our whole being in such a way that people will live right because righteousness proceeds from their heart. That can't be true in a political setting. In a political setting, we do certain things because, hey, nila mulo. If I don't follow that, I'll be disadvantaged. Although it's not perfect, the law has a weakness. Although it's not perfect, it tries to introduce some order, but it's not a perfect order. Amen. You see, there are speed traps along this road. Even myself, you know, I'll forget about it. I'll start speeding. Oh, when I see 40 speed limits, I try to reduce and I become a law-abiding citizen. And you can see there's even traffic which has built and, you know, everyone is driving slowly because there's 40 kilometers per hour speed limit there. If I ask you, do you think all those people are enjoying the speed they're driving at? Huh? If you are mistaken and you didn't see the speed limit, you say, wow, these people drive like angels. They are very patient. And they'll all be driving slowly. Notice what happens when they go beyond the cameras. From 40, it goes to 60, 70. Why? You are free from the law now. You can do whatever you want. That's the weakness of the law. If one notices, there's load shedding, the cameras are not working, they speed and accidents happen and all that. That's the weakness of the law. Someone seems to be obeying it outwardly, but inside they actually don't like it. Now look here, the Bible says a time is coming when the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, where everyone will be filled with the knowledge of God and they'll live right, they'll do the right thing from their hearts outwardly. It will be a perfect world. But how shall that happen? Jesus uses an interesting word. In Matthew 19, verse 28, let's see the way Jesus described it. Matthew 19, verse 28. Let's start from verse 27. Matthew 19, verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? So Peter tells Jesus, we forsook everything. We abandoned everything. What is there for us? What will happen? And Jesus in verse 28, and Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me, in the generation when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Meaning you'll be rulers with me, right? And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive an 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. Now, Jesus calls that period of time the age of what? What term did he use? The period of time when Jesus will be ruling, when you will be ruling with Jesus, he calls it the period of regeneration. What does regeneration mean? It will be a time of transformation, renewing the minds of people, bringing in a new order. What new order is this? Isaiah 2 verse 2 to 4. Isaiah 2 verse 2 to 4. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. So in that time, all nations. Does that include Zambia? Yes. Does that include Mozambique? Yes. Does it include Europe? All nations. This is the time when Jesus is ruling. But what kind of a rule shall it be? What will characterize it? Will each country have its constitution like it happens at the United Nations? Different presidents gather. Each of them, others they allow homosexuality, others they don't, but they try to come and find some common ground here and there over peace and unity issues. Is that how it will be in the age of regeneration? Not so. Verse 3, shall we all read? And many people shall come here and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Does this look like Holy Ghost filled people? Amen. Are you sure with your amen, brother? Do you need to teach Holy Ghost filled people that, hey, don't take your sword and kill another? Do you need to teach them how they shouldn't war? This bunch of people you are seeing here, do they look like people who've been believers? What would be the purpose of teaching believers how not to fight war? No, we are learning that now, how to yield our hearts to the Lord Jesus, right? But here it speaks of a period of time when nations won't raise a sword against another nation, and Jesus will, the Bible says what? He will rebuke them, right? This is not for the bride of Christ. It's for the natural element of people who will be found alive when Jesus comes. And those who are raptured, they come with the Lord Jesus. And what kind of people do you see? It's people who survived the time of trial on earth. The sheep people. The people who've survived the great tribulation. These people are coming from a world, a political world. They have a hangover of how political systems used to govern them. That's their minds are coming from this kind of a period of time. That's what they have. They don't know what the Holy Ghost infilling is or how to the deep things believers know today, but there are people God has chosen and selected that they need to repopulate the world during the 1,000 years. Yes, there'll be marriages. There will be people who are coming from all walks of life. But although they don't have the Holy Spirit, in their character, they've qualified to be labeled good people whom God has chosen to repopulate the world. That does not mean they are perfect people. They're coming from a world which, choosing a leader, you needed to vote in the ballot box. That's what they have in their mind. They're coming from a world which was polluted. How long will it take for their minds to be renewed to learn the ways of God. You right now, you are learning the ways of God, in case you don't know. You are learning the ways of God. You are trying to learn how to walk in the paths of Jesus. And every now and then, there is a struggle with your flesh and you are dying daily to your flesh. Is that so? Is that so? You are trying to reach that perfection in Christ where you can reign with Jesus. But this cannot be said to be the same with the people in the millennium whom will be ruling over. Why do they need to be judged? Yes, there is the judgment of the nations. That's not what I'm talking about. When that is done, and the sheep people have been selected to repopulate the world, judging continues. Teaching continues. Instruction continues. Who will be doing that? The saints. The saints. People who had been raptured. People who had matured in their faith. People who are now ruling with Christ. Those people Jesus said, well done, my good and faithful servant. I'll set you to rule over this size of a nation. Or this group. Isaiah 66 verse 22 to 24. Isaiah 66, verse 22 to 24. For as the new heavens and the new earth. Now, we know that will be the new earth, right? But well, you need to know that it's a period of restoration. When Jesus is reigning, the earth is undergoing healing. Amen. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make. That does not mean God will produce a new world altogether. It will be this same planet, but God will restore it. You make a new thing out of it. Just like you are a new creation in Christ, you are the same person, but God does something in you. You become born again. So for as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. Now, verse 23, shall we all read together? We see things which will be happening in the millennium. Shall we read? And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. Did you hear that? Now, do you remember that in Isaiah it says, from the mount shall go forth the law. Do you remember what we read in, was that Isaiah? 2 verse 2 to 4. From Mount Zion the law shall go forth, right? And then here, from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another. What does that tell you? Are you not seeing that the law is back? Are you seeing that? It's nothing like, no, you just worship in your own time. It's nothing like, for me, I'll be worshiping on any day and all that. Yes, that will be going on. But it says, from one new moon, from one Sabbath to another, all people of the world, all nations, there'll be a time where you all need to adhere to the law. How is that? Now, when Seventh-day Adventists read a scripture like this, they get so excited, almost thinking like, God is a Seventh-day Adventist. It's not true. You need to read the scriptures with the mind of God. You need to understand what's the purpose of the law. What did the New Testament scripture tell us? The law was meant for? The law is made for? Huh? Lawbreakers. Is there a need to say, you should be coming home at 19 hours, not beyond that? Is there a need to give that if your children have never come home late? If always they are at home 14 hours and they've never come beyond that, will you make a law that in this house from today, you should not be arriving beyond 19 hours? Will that law make sense? A law is for? Hello? The law is for? You put a law to control behavior. But is it the perfect will of God to put a law? Is it the perfect will of God? If you want to know the perfect will of God, go back to Genesis. God did not walk in Eden and tell Adam, Adam, you shall not kill. Adam, you shall not commit adultery. Is that the story you read in Genesis? No. Adam, God does not even tell him, Adam, later on you need to get married. God doesn't tell him that. God just put him to a deep sleep. When he woke up, he knew who Eve was. He even prophesied, the two shall become one flesh. How did Adam know that he was a son of God? The Spirit of God dwelt in him. He knew the right thing to do. You don't give a law to such a man. You understand that? Why? The life which is in him is the very life of the Word of God. A baby. Who teaches a baby how to suck from a nipple? Do you teach it? That use that mouth to poo. Where did it learn? Which school did it go to? It does what a baby does because the spirit of a human being is in it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. A hen, a little dog. There are certain things you are never taught. It's because it's the spirit of a human being which is in you, and it will manifest that character when that time comes. You see that? Now, when God was speaking to Adam, he never had any problem. Why? The Spirit of God could freely communicate with the spirit of Adam. If God comes walking in the garden, Adam would feel it in the spirit. The Lord has come. Right? I remember one time asking a question to say, has it ever happened? You are in a room. I don't know how many have had that ability or experience. You are in a room and suddenly you feel there's a wrong spirit which has entered here. How many have ever experienced that? You're able to tell, you can feel it in your spirit. You can't explain it. You go on your knees, you start praying. You can feel it. You are wrestling with something. You are wrestling with an evil spirit. Oh my. Such things have happened to me. Such have happened. I've had some terrible experiences of that. Not asleep, fully awake. You are in between, like a dream state, and you are awake. It has happened in the afternoon. It has happened sometimes. At the same time, you can feel it when the Holy Spirit comes and you say His presence is here. And your spirit feels excited. You want to jump, you can feel it. Sometimes it's just that awesome feeling, reverently. You know His presence is here. Now, Adam, he wasn't like us. Us, we can feel it. Sometimes we can't make out what it is. Maybe you need to pray. Maybe you need to yield. Adam did not need to pray and fast to be in connection with heaven. When the presence of God steps down, he saw it coming. He could feel it. When God spoke something, he understood the mind of God. Why? He was a son of God. In Luke chapter 3, is it 38? It says, Seth was the son of Adam. Adam was the son of God. Being a son of God, he had the nature of God in him. But do you notice in Genesis 6, when God said, my spirit shall no longer strive with man, seeing he is also... Hello? Yes. In other words, there was a striving God had. Struggle to try to speak to man. Now sometimes you need to sleep. That's when you can hear something from the spirit. Sometimes God will show you a circumstance and sometimes you miss it. He shows you a second time, say, I think God is trying to say something to me. Sometimes God has to speak after similitude of things, as the scripture puts it. You know, like when God was rebuking Aaron and Miriam, you know, Aaron and Miriam were like, are you the only one God speaks to? Moses, you know? Maybe because they had little experiences of prophesying and all that, and they thought they were at the same level with Moses, and then God rebuked them. He says, to Moses, my servant, I speak face to face. To others, I speak in similitude of things, you know, like in dark things. Why does the message of God come to man like that? Does it mean God loves it to throw things which just confuse our minds? No, it's because of the nature and state we are in. God can speak, but our minds. You understand what I mean? You've ever tried to call someone where there is no network coverage? And all that, it's because of the state we are in. God may speak something once. I find the mind says, that's a strange thing which happened. If you're not attentive, you go on doing whatever you're doing. The following day again, maybe you have had a dream. Now your dream, there's a natural one, but another third time, maybe it's not a dream, just something has happened. Maybe someone speaks a word to you, say, I think God is speaking. Those are dark sayings, right? That is God speaking to you in similitude of things, right? But to Moses, God did not speak like that. He heard God speak like man to man. Everything plain. Adam was at a much higher level before he sinned. Heaven and earth kissed. The will of God was walking in Adam. He was the son of God. But that is no longer the case. After the fall of man, human beings started getting born. These human beings, they've never had an experience of what it means to live and dwell in Eden, the presence of God. As time moves further, man goes further away from God. Further away from God. Until today in our time, a cheap magician, a trickster, can come in the pulpit and do tricks and all that, and the whole audience can be fooled. That's how bad it is. Because certain things, you just need common sense to know that God is not in that thing, right? But things have reached a bad state that men without the fear of God have taken they've taken advantage of the blindness in man to manipulate other human beings, speaking as though, as it were, in the name of God, yet speaking lies. That is how people exploit each other's blindness to the benefit of their selfish gain. Adam was not like that. His eyes saw. But after sin, it was a different story. God says, my spirit will no longer strive with man, seeing that he is also flesh, meaning man has been reduced to animal flesh. And God struggles now to communicate with this human being. Why? Human being has reduced himself to animal level. Now, when you have animals, animals need strong rules and laws. You know that? If you want cows to go in a certain way, what do you do? Do you say, "Wangombe, ngenanko ni moja?" You think it will understand what you're speaking? There will be a struggle between your natural human speech with a cow. It doesn't understand that. You are at a higher level, it doesn't comprehend that. What do? You take him sharp, you take a stick, you beat it, you point. You have to go that way. Then you see the cows begin to move in that direction. Is that so? What is that rod you are using to correct, to direct? That is the law. That's how the law works. The law tries to make a creature which can't fully comprehend an instruction, that creature needs to obey and follow that order by subjecting it to that through repetition until it grasps. The next time you just raise a stick, the animal knows where it's supposed to go. You think that's God's perfect will? God's perfect will is for the mind to be restored where, when his word goes forth, you are able to understand it and love it because you are seeing his love in that word. But have you ever seen these young people? When you tell them, don't do this, study, don't be playful, don't do this and that, sometimes they think the parent is very unfair. Later on, when they grow, they begin to see why you were emphasizing. It was for their own good. But woe unto a child who doesn't listen until now, when his mind grows up and he realizes he has put himself in a mess. That becomes disastrous, isn't it? Now, look at this. In that millennium, you see the law coming back. Why? This is not the bride of Christ you're looking at. You're looking at people who've come from all walks of life, different governance systems. They need to be subjected to the word of God. What will do that? The law. What will do that? Uniformity. But it won't just be the law. It won't just be the law. The light of God will be revealing itself through that law. How? By those who were raptured, those who were sons of God. There will be lights which will shine. This law of God, different from the law of Moses, it will be pulsating with life. The Holy Spirit in the lives of the sons of God will manifest. It will judge the people of the world. It will reveal the secrets of their hearts. There will be discernment and people walk in the fear of God. Praise God. Now look at this. Isaiah 11. Someone can say, will there be spiritual gifts in the millennium? Yes. Isaiah chapter 11. We are closing soon. Because when you say, we shall rule with Christ, others think, oh, they'll be in state house. It's a different kind of a kingdom altogether. Nothing similar to how the world rules. It will be rulership by the power of the word and the knowledge of God. Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. Listen to this. Isaiah 11 verse 1, shall we read? And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. Do you hear the word used there? There shall come forth what? A rod. When you read a rod, that speaks of instruction. That speaks of the law. That speaks of putting people in order by authority of the law. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Now, this Spirit of God which will be on Jesus, listen to how the description goes. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. These things are happening in the millennium. How will Jesus, and these things which are spoken of Jesus, by the way, they are manifesting through his subjects, the sons of God who are ruling with him. What kind of spirit shall they have also? They shall have a spirit of wisdom and understanding. The spirit of counsel. Why the spirit of counsel? They'll be counseling these people. Oh, yes. What you see in the body of Christ, like in a church, is a shadow of what shall be in the millennium. You know, in the book of Hebrews, it says, you give respect unto those who rule over your souls, right? The ministry is called rulers. And if it's a true ministry which is anointed of God, it judges, it assesses by the, it counsels by the knowledge and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Here is a person who comes. It's in the millennium. They have a burden. They have an issue. And your eyes can see. And you discern. And the mind of God gets revealed to them. And they know exactly what they need to do about their problem. What is that? It's the mind of God being revealed to them. It's nothing to do with you are in state house and oh my, you put on that political crown and all that. It will be the power of the Holy Spirit ruling. That is why the Bible says it's a kingdom of priests. Have you read about that in the book of Revelation? A kingdom of kings and what? Priests. Who is a priest? He stands in the place of God, right? And people of the world will receive counsel. They will receive knowledge. What is knowledge? It's the revelation which makes you know something. Okay? Now, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. When men's secrets of heart will be getting revealed, it will take them into the knowledge of God. Who is God? As this thing continues, the mind of man shall be renewed. How long will it take? 7 days? 1 year? 2 years? 1,000 years. That tells you how complicated the mind of man is. When people come and you need to rule over them, if you'll be ruling over nations, what kind of ruling? You'll be judging. What kind of judging? Will you be saying, okay, let me hear this witness. What happened? Tell me. No, it won't be like that. You will be a light. When your mind becomes one with God, nothing will be hidden from your sight. By the revelation you will give, it will be like light bringing everything to light which was hidden. And that is why he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. If he won't reprove by his eyes and his ears, by whose eyes and ears will he be doing it? By the eyes and the ears of God. That is why we need to learn that in this present time. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Praise the name of Jesus. Now, oh my. I have 5 minutes before it is 20. Allow me to read Revelation 22, verse 1 to 5. Revelation 22, verse 1 to 5. Shall we all read? And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of what? Of the nations. But how many fruits does this tree of life have? 12, right? Now we know this is the Holy Spirit, but when you read before we go to 1 Corinthians, this tree produces 12 fruits, okay? And the leaves are for the healing of the nations. Well, what's the healing of the nations? Remember what we read in Isaiah chapter 2? It says, nations will learn war no more, right? How will they be delivered from that? By the leaves of the tree of life. What is this we're speaking of? It's the word of God. It's the power of God. It's the fruits which are coming from the tree of life. Now, it has 12 manner of fruits. That's beautiful. That's amazing. Now, in this present time, we know something about the gifts of the Spirit. When you read 1 Corinthians 12, verse 6 to 8 in your own time, you read about wisdom. You read about knowledge. You read about faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, tongues, and interpretation. That makes the 9 gifts. Well, those are things that our minds are acquainted with. And we cannot really express the full depth of how it shall be in the millennium. But one thing we know, the power of God is going to manifest in such a way that as this power is manifesting itself, it is God having this power. But sons of God shall inherit this power, and they'll be like branches of this tree. You understand that? Allow me to read Daniel 12 verse 2 to 3. Daniel 12 verse 2 to 3. You know, God is light, but you also will be light. How? There's no light in you. Your own will is darkness. How will you become that light? You will inherit it. You die to yourself, you let the light of God fully manifest through you. Then you will become a light in that time also. So, Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Verse 3, shall we all read? And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Now, here is something for you. Colossians 1, verse 12. Colossians 1, verse 12. Now, you see, in Daniel, you'll be a light. You'll be a star. Now, Colossians 1, verse 12. I want you to see that that has got nothing to do with you being a star, like the worldly stars we see today. Say, oh, he's a pop star, like Michael Jackson. Those are fallen stars, and whatever light they emit is actually darkness. But Colossians 1 verse 12, it says something. Let us read from verse 9, from verse 9 to verse 12. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That should be your prayer, that you can be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. That means your life becomes so pleasing before the Lord. Such a pleasing thing. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Remember, in the millennium, the whole earth shall be covered with the knowledge of God. But for you who are believers, you need to be filled with that knowledge. Now, verse 11, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Let us all read verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers. Now, wait. Which hath made us meet, meaning it's not in our goodness, it's not because we deserved it, we were also sinners, it's only the grace of God which will make us meet, meaning which will make us qualify for that. It's his grace. Meaning this grace, this power will enable us, not in our strength. We've died to our flesh and we've allowed him to live through us. So which hath made us meet to be what? Partakers of the inheritance of the saints in. That's what you need to inherit. God is light. We're not lights on our own. Okay? God is light. Nothing can be hidden from him. But when we empty ourselves and allow his spirit to live in us, one day we shall rule with him. We shall inherit. We shall be part of that light because it will shine through us. The last verse now. And we close. Revelation 22 verse 5. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them. For the Lord God giveth them. And they shall reign forever and. They. Who are the they? The bride of Christ. The people of God, the elect, right? How shall they reign? How? Because God has given them. Now, when you go to chapter 21, verse 23. Chapter 21, verse 23. Revelation. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Shall we stand? There's that beautiful song, in the city where the Lamb is the light. In the city where the sun never goes down. I have a mansion over there. In. Is the light.
This is a country far beyond
the starry sky. There's a city that never comes at night. If we are faithful, we shall go there by and by. It's the city where the light is the light. Praise the Lord! In that city where the
in that city, in that